Perfect. Okay. So, you know, back there in Romans 2, talking about being no partiality with God. Again, the concept of the personal relationship, yes, God does have a personal relationship with each and every one of us, but the parameters of those are laid out in Scripture. One of the nice things that I haven't really thought about it or mentioned it before with this is actually a really good verse dealing with Calvinism. Because if you think about it, Calvinism actually teaches that God does show favoritism, that he chooses some people to be saved and chooses other people not to be saved. And it's completely up to him and his sovereign purpose. And if I'm not one of the ones that's elect and I really, you know, and I want to know who God is, there's no way I can actually do it because I'm not in that little chosen group. So God does not show partiality. You know, any person is welcome to him who chooses to come to him. God lays out the terms and we're able to come to him on our own. Now, he does draw us with the Scripture. That is absolutely true. But at the same time, we can choose to ignore that. I mean, we can listen to the message of salvation and completely and utterly reject it if it's something that we don't want. Because what the message of salvation does and the message of the Scripture is it pierces down into the deepest part of us and finds out, are we truth seekers or not? You know, and if we are, we respond positively. So we find ourselves, we've been going over verses 12 through 16 over the last couple of weeks. And the concept there is what about the individual who doesn't have the law, right? The letter of the law, but they instinctively do the things of the law. Where do they fall in regards to salvation? Well, God makes it very clear. If we go there, verse 14, he says, "For when Gentiles," this is Romans 2:14, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus." So, you know, what we see there very clearly is that Gentiles who don't have the letter of the law, if they did instinctively the things of the law, they're doing just fine. Now, where did they get this? Romans chapter 1 says that everything about God is evident within them. You know, there's a inner moral code that God puts inside of every individual. It doesn't lay out the specifics of the law, of course, but the big things that God wants every human to do, that's written inside of us. Now, if we flip over here to Romans chapter 2, and let's go to verse 25. He says, "For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who through having the letter of the law and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he who is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." So think about it. He's saying, you know, the sign of the covenant for the law was circumcision. You know, 8 days old, snip, snip, for the males, and that was the sign of the covenant. And if you didn't keep that, you were, you know, basically expelled from the nation. This is one of those things that's not part of the inner moral code, okay? Someone who looks at creation and sees everything about God being written there and then has that conscience, their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them, the concept of circumcision is nowhere in there. You can't look at creation and be like, oh, you know what? We should circumcise all the guys. Yeah, absolutely. And we should do it at 8 days old too, by the way, so they don't have any memory of the trauma that would entail. There's nothing in the inner moral code. There's nothing out there. That is the only way you're going to get to that is expressed written revelation. So the Jews had that, right? They not only had that, but they had all of the other components of the law as well. So the Jews thought, you know what? We have this special relationship, God and I. So when I had that little snip, snip done, then we're good. We're good. We're absolutely good from this point forward. And I can kind of do what I want. We've got this special relationship. And God's like, hold on a second. What, you know those heathen Gentiles that you so quickly dismiss and view as unclean, and it's against the law for you to fellowship with them, and you look down your nose? What happens if them, what if they actually are more morally pure than you? What if they, you know, don't rob, you know, don't covet, maybe, you know, they don't murder, and they treat people with kindness and fairness, and they have a strong desire to fulfill that moral code? He said, even though they're physically uncircumcised, won't their uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? You could see how that would blow a Jew's mind. You mean their physical uncircumcision, which for the Jew, if they stayed that way, would kick them out of the nation. The Gentile would actually be welcome to God without having to go through that process? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they don't have the letter of the law, but they keep, you know, the law written on their hearts. And even though they don't even know the name of God, Yahweh, yet they still follow him, aren't they being viewed as righteous? And aren't they going to judge you? Paul says, yeah, absolutely. And here's the reason why. And this is what brings us back to Christianity. Verse 28, right? He says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart. Now, this by the Spirit in the New American Standard can be translated a different way, too. It can be translated in spirit. The definite article, the, is not actually there in the Greek. So you could translate it, which is done in the heart, in spirit. In other words, the spiritual heart is what's actually circumcised. Not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. See, so... Either way that works, by the Spirit, again, how is the Spirit going to circumcise somebody? Well, it's going to be of the heart, right? And it's done in the heart. Now, the concept we have to figure out then is, you know, where is this done? How is this circumcision done in the New Covenant? Because in the Old Covenant, we see it. Person is left to their own. They're left to the revelation that's given through creation. They're left to the imprinting of God's standard inside their hearts, inside their minds, and they're left on their own. But we know what happens based out of Romans 1. For the majority of mankind, if not all of mankind, they did not honor God nor give thanks. They became darkened in their speculations. They were given over to depraved mind, to depraved actions. And we see what takes place in the Gentile world almost universally when people are left without special revelation. They dive deep into idolatry. They have abominable practices, immorality, human sacrifice. Again, one of the favorites that we've talked about here quite a bit, the Aztecs, Mayans, Incas, all of those, in the overwhelming nature of human sacrifice in their systems. It was ubiquitous. It was everywhere. It was a constant. As a matter of fact, the Spanish who were there viewing this, and we have their records still, were horrified. Absolutely horrified by the amount of human sacrifice that took place and conquered people, people that were set aside in a special kind of way, children, and we're seeing the graves of these human sacrifices being dug up in archaeology over there, just everywhere. This is typically where mankind goes. They are depraved. They are evil because they're left alone to create their own system. Kind of like the book of Judges. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And you see what happened in the book of Judges, right? They fell so that they could not live by God's constitution anymore, you know, the law, and they needed a king because they just couldn't handle freedom. You know, you need a moral and an educated society to be able to handle freedom. And you know, we don't have that anymore, and they didn't have that either. So if you don't have that, then you can't handle freedom as well. So the question then comes, where does this, or when does this circumcision take place? Because notice he says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he who is a Jew is one inwardly, right? So let's, you guys probably know where I'm going. Let's head over to Colossians chapter 2. Common passage, but really, really powerful.